brought to you by Carol Beck and broadcasting live from the Dallas Entrepreneur Center, The Deck at 311 North Market Street, Suite 200 in Dallas, Texas. It's time for Career Advancement Radio, providing information to help enhance your career. Now here's your host, Dr. Marilyn Carroll.
Good morning and welcome to our show today. Today, my guest is Crystal Barnard, CPA, and she has a lot of great information for us today to discuss about accounting. Crystal is just a fabulous person, not only as a businesswoman, but also in the various ministries that she's going to talk to us about today, with her business being one of those ministries. So we thought it so appropriate for Career Advancement Radio to bring to our audience a spectacular business professional. And we wanted to, I don't want to hold you up any longer. Right, let's get started. Crystal, introduce yourself.
Awesome. I am Crystal Barnard, and my company is Crystal Barnard CPA. And my CPA firm is in Arlington, Texas, and we really focus on helping individuals as well as small business owners make that transition. So many people, they're in a, you know, W-2 position, but they want to go into their own, you know, organization, business, whatever that is, but they don't really know how to do so. And once you get on the business side, there are some complex accounting principles and tax laws. And so my focus and my business is really to focus on those individuals who are transitioning into some type of full-time self-employment, or they're just getting started with self-employment, but really breaking down consulting, tax laws, accounting principles to make sure that you make that transition really successful. One thing is that most people are very hands-on in the operation of their business. So sometimes the financial aspect really takes the back seat. Yes. And then they get a notice in the mail and they say, whoa, what happened? So what I do is really try to educate you beforehand so that you really understand what you're getting into. Your deadlines that you need to know of to make sure that from a financial perspective, it's seamless. There's a seamless transfer. Your bookkeeping is in line. Your taxes are in line. And we want to minimize the tax liability that you pay at the end of the year.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I can attest to Crystal's statement. Even as a visionary entrepreneur with many different business ideas over the years, I had not thought about the whole thing because of my background in accounting, where I have a degree in accounting, and I thought, oh, I can just run this thing by myself. I can do everything. I'm every woman, so to speak. And boy, was I wrong. And so I had the opportunity to meet Crystal, and at a time that I was much deep in prayer as to needing help and needing to know the right way to go, and thinking I knew it all beforehand. And I can honestly say that Crystal in her business practices really helped me to see the light and break down things. Because as you guys know, it is very difficult to keep up with everything, your product at the same time, launching a business, and then on top of that, making sure your tax situation is under control, in the right hands, and that you strategize in the right way. We do not know everything. And trust me, not only Crystal as a great accountant or someone similar to her, but also having an attorney in place is extremely important. But today, again, we're going to focus on accounting. And this is for entrepreneurs, as Crystal said. So she led us into this just right by providing us with information about transitioning, making that transition from the individual employed to one that is self-employed. So, Crystal, what are some of the things that the top, let's say, three things that you would suggest to an entrepreneur or a person going into entrepreneurship making that transition?
Absolutely, hands off. We want to make sure that your accounting records and your bookkeeping is spot on, especially if you are starting some type of nonprofit organization, specifically when you are seeking grants. You want to make sure that you have all of your ducks in a row. So making sure that you have proper documentation, receipts, expenses, programming, making sure that what you're spending is actually for that particular grant. For more for-profit organizations, it's really easy now that we have a lot of cloud-based accounting systems, whether that's QuickBooks Online, there's Wave Accounting, Xero. There's so many different platforms that you can use to really help you have all of your receipts in line. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, we want to make sure that the bookkeeping is together.
Okay.
Second thing is when your bookkeeping is all intact, that makes the end of the year a whole lot easier, one for you and for your accountant, mm-hmm. because you're keeping track of those things throughout the year. You're reconciling. One, you can make decisions a lot better because you can run financial reports on a monthly basis. So you can see, okay, February was an awesome month, but March went down. So you know that's an income where maybe we need to have some supplemental revenue streams.
Right.
So when you can check yourself. So when we have data, that is valuable because now we can actually do some decision making based on information versus just saying, well, I think it's a good idea to do some advertising this month. You don't really know because you don't have any data to back it up. But once you have that data, you can make really great decisions, especially, and this is with all types of employment and businesses. Businesses seem to be seasonal. You have a couple of months where you have really high income, and then those lower lying months, especially starting out, you kind of scramble and you just think, oh my goodness, what are you doing? But when you have that financial data, you can pre-plan for that. So you know, okay, I may need to save up a little bit more now so that in my lower lying months, you know, I'm not scrambling, getting lines of credit when you don't really need them.
Wow, that is significant. So, okay, those are the three things you can do when you're thinking about, when you're making that transition. What would you advise that new entrepreneur that is out there? He's done the three things that you talked about, and now he's getting into his season of his business and things are moving. He thinks, oh my gosh, yes, I can go out and make that big purchase or you talked about marketing a few moments ago, but I can make a purchase in technology if needed. Do they necessarily, or what are some of the wrongs, I'll put it like that, the top three wrongs they may have done, and what are some of the things they can do to prevent that? Like you talked about QuickBooks and using QuickBooks as a means of providing your service. But what about, I noticed the other day I received some information from a lot of, every day I receive information from advertisers saying, your business may need this. And I am a minority-owned business, a woman minority on as well as veterans minority owned business, excuse me. And I get a plethora of information constantly. And I'm like, okay, I don't know which way to go. I'm not, I could go and use them and pay this $800 for them to fix my DUNS number, and as well as my code so that I can get more information, especially on government contracts. So that being said, what do you think or some of the other things, or even on that particular spill, what should an entrepreneur do?
So that's really good, because so many people, you get all these notices in the mail. That's one thing when you start your own business, everyone wants to do business with you, which is a great thing. So again, going back to that QuickBooks or any type of software where it's getting your information, when you implement a new advertising system, you want to do it at least for 2 or 3 months to see how your numbers reflect. If revenue is going up in correlation to whatever, you know, advertising program you just implemented, okay, that's going great. So the key is whatever you do put in practice, we want to make sure that the data is reflected. Wow. Very, very simple.
Wow.
And it's the simple things that a lot of people don't look at. And they think, okay, let me advertise, do this, do that. And you don't really know how much it's really helping you. And you end up spending a whole lot more than what's really coming in.
Yes. I can see that, because I'm sitting there thinking, well, if I do that, what's the return on my investment from this particular venture? And now I'm just so afraid, even knowing all the things that I know, to make certain moves. And so do you work with your clients in order to establish with them what move they should make and when, or are you meeting with your clients?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So most of my clients meet with me on a monthly basis. So as I am keeping their books, I'm looking at the data, and then we're brainstorming together and consulting and to see, okay, what do we need to do? Prime example is I have a new client and she owns a learning center.
Wow.
A daycare facility in the North Dallas area. And so we look at her books very strategically every single month. And, you know, she had a big dip one month. And so we came up with different revenue streams that she can do. And the next month it was great. You know, so really sitting down with an accountant will really help you to strategize so that every dollar that you're putting out, you're getting at least double or triple back in, mm-hmm. which is super, super important.
I want to stop you on that point, because what I'm hearing is your accountant needs to be your partner.
Absolutely.
You need to think of it as your partner.
Yes.
Especially as an entrepreneur, you don't have the luxury necessarily of bringing in people on staff, mm-hmm. an accountant on staff necessarily. So once my business grows, at what point do I say I don't need to meet with my individual accountant as much, and my or individual accountant Crystal now just focuses more on our quarterly books or something like that? Or do we still continue?
Absolutely. This is a relationship. This isn't. And a lot of people tend to compartmentalize CPAs in January to April, and that's
wow.
it. And then we don't see them for the rest of the year. But that's the biggest mistake you could probably make. Mm-hmm. Because remember, you're making money all year long. You're strategizing all year long. You're planning for the next tax season in this current tax season. So that relationship has to be all year round.
Mm-hmm. And I can really see that, because I know Crystal is also my accountant, and a lot of times I'm there and she's like, okay, Dr. Carol, what's this? Where's the other information? What happened here? What? It would be so much easier. And so now that I know after doing this interview today that you and I need to be in contact every month on what's going on, as well as giving you a preview of the books and all of that as we go along, so that
absolutely.
During tax season, you don't have to ask me all those questions.
And the thing is, you tend to forget, you know, mm-hmm. think about if this is April and we're thinking about to, you know, the previous January, you're probably going to forget a lot of expenses. So from a tax perspective, you're paying the IRS probably a whole lot more than what you need to.
Wow.
Because you're not keeping track of those things ongoingly. And so at the end of the year, you're thinking, okay, now what did I do in February?
Mm-hmm.
But when you have that relationship, and having a relationship is valuable, because I know what you've done. I'm constantly keeping records. So I know, okay, we had a big consulting fee. Okay. So that probably brought us revenue, you know, 6 months down the line. So I'm able to know expenses versus revenue, what quarter they fell in, how to do the tax planning, as well as the consulting within that time.
Okay. So my accountant is my partner. Almost it sounds like I can't eat and sleep without necessarily that accountant knowing. So being that partner is a strong partnership. How should an individual go about really finding that right match for them as that partner?
That's a great question. And that's really important, because this is a relationship, remember? So you want to make sure that you and your accountant see eye to eye. They understand your vision. They understand where you want to go, what hindrances you may have already, you know, encountered, mm-hmm. as well as what's to come. As long as they can understand your vision and where you're going and how the accountant can help get you there, that's the right match.
Wow. Now that is awesome. That is awesome. And I can attest to that. When I'm talking to Crystal, she understands me better than my family. So,
And a lot of times you can't really see what's to come. So you're trying to position all of your resources, employees together. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't see that. But as a CPA, because we work with other clients, we know what typically happens. So we can say, okay, scenario A is this, scenario B, scenario C, and this is all based on experience. Which one do you want to go towards to get to your vision?
Wow. Okay.
So we have a little bit more experience that can help you make those decisions accordingly.
Okay. Now, even in my businesses, I am a person, I'm big on the community and giving back to the community and bringing that community along. And I also think of my business as a ministry, all the various different things that I'm in. I feel as though God led me to them some type of way based on something I needed to do. And so as that, I always want some kind of component of giving back to the community as part, or some type of bigger, something that's bigger than me or mm-hmm. bigger than my business that is part of what I'm doing. And so for me, I've chosen education because that's my platform, period, education and business, and finding a way to marry those two to give back to those who are not as fortunate to receive education or understand education and all of the oddities that go along with funding and all the other things. So as that, as my platform, I'm trying to delve into an area where I'm bringing to the mass public information about that through, again, like I say, the extension of my ministry, which is extension of my business. Mm-hmm. So as an accountant, what do you think about that and what you yourself are doing as a ministry as well?
Absolutely. And I think that's the benefit of small business ownership is that you can make it your own. You don't have to just be for profit all the time. If you want to lend a helping hand in this area, then you can do that. And, you know, one thing is that, and again, we tend to compartmentalize where this is what we do and that's it. And then we go home. But, you know, you can be creative with this. You know, you are your brand. So whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's giving back, having the for-profit business, something else on the side, all of that is correlated with your brand. It's really you that's the business. People are coming to you, not necessarily the business. And so what we do, so my husband and I, we also have a ministry called Believers Connection. And they kind of correlate together because I'm able to help people in my practice and really show them how business is done, as well as be an example of how they can give back to the community as well. We also work with, we have a group called Young Women Lead, where we work with mainly college students. So these are going to be females 18 to about 24 years old, and really showing them how to live on purpose, how to be an entrepreneur, how to reach your goals, how to do all these things early so that by the time, you know, they're out of college, they're really just living and doing what they like to do.
That is great. That is fabulous. And are you seeing the same thing with some of your clients and more of your clients wanting to blend all of that together? And that's one of the reasons, like you stated earlier, they want to go into entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. And that's one thing why I left corporate America and started my own business, was really to give back to people, you know, because I saw, you know, the struggle of where people just really didn't want to go. They have all these great ideas and passions and ideas, but it's how do we get there? You know, so how do we take those steps so that I can have a business, but I can give back at the same time? I would say every single one of my monthly clients has some sort of community involvement that really is their time. They're not charging anyone, but just so that they can give back. And at the same time, because other people see them being very active, it makes those people want to do business with them. So it's all related to each other.
Well, that's an excellent point. It just throughout, even when I worked in corporate America, I saw the difference that could be made. And if people would take more time, just a little bit of their time, rather, not more time, but a little bit of their time to really use it as a helping hand, even either towards that ministry or towards a nonprofit, which is another type of ministry, to help in developing those that are may not be as fortunate as they have been through the talk process. And I'm not talking about monetary fortunate. A lot of people think of that, and that's not the thing. It's about how do you help people to see, here's how you can make it happen.
So, absolutely.
Good point. Now, we know that based on the information we see in business journals, as well as in academia, that entrepreneurship is the foundation of America, is how America became America. We also know that in order to get America back to the growth process, that entrepreneurship has to happen again in a big way, and that we have to make things available for entrepreneurs so that they can build and grow their businesses. So the biggest thing, I say all that to say that with the biggest thing that is happening right now in entrepreneurship is health insurance. And how do they get that health insurance that they need? What are your thought process on that? In working with your clients, what are some of the things that you suggested and down the avenue of health insurance?
Absolutely. And that's always a huge implication, especially when you have a family, you know, and you're leaving your, you know, full-time, you know, employment. And now you're thinking, well, what am I going to do with health insurance? And now these days it can easily be in the thousands of dollars per month. So a couple of key things, of course, there is the Affordable Health Care Act where you can go in. But something that I offer to a lot of my clients is Christian and non-Christian healthcare sharing ministries. And it has been such a blessing to so many people, even myself, where you're out of the Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care program. So you don't have a penalty at the end of the year, but it gives you time to have healthcare sharing options at a very low cost. Sometimes they're as low as maybe like $40 a month until your business bills. And then if you want to get a traditional health plan, now you have the funds to do so. But in the meantime, it's an excellent resource, you know, an inexpensive resource to still have healthcare options, even though you're not with an actual employer.
Maybe offline. I want to know more about that, but maybe we can do a LinkedIn post about how to connect to that particular avenue for healthcare. And does that cover dental?
Some of them do cover dental. Yes, I have several of my clients have, when they left their full-time employment, they said, whoa, what am I going to do with healthcare? And I have several that actually signed up with healthcare sharing ministries. And it's been such a blessing to them. They share the majority, if not all, of your healthcare bills. And you pay very similar, like a monthly premium, and you have an annual deductible.
So there's a bigger umbrella that's taking care of. So because the group is coming together as a ministry.
Yes.
Very good. Very good. Now, the other thing that I find that has been a challenge is retirement planning. Are you making suggestions to the clients about, as a self-employed individual, you know, based on, you can do your retirement plan based on profits, mm-hmm. which would be creating a profit sharing plan. We used to have something back in the day called KEOs, mm-hmm. and those were HR-10 plans. I don't know if that's similar today. I haven't had the opportunity to look back at that recently. And then there could be something that's for as a pension plan for those companies that are growing at a fast-paced growth, but that's going to cost more money if you have employees.
Right.
So what do you start your clients out with?
Absolutely. So we have two different options, and this is one thing I want to get into. So what I always recommend is as soon as business gets up and going, and this depends on the industry as well, but you really want to form in your state as an LLC or a corporation. So LLC is limited liability company, and that's really going to separate you from the business from a legal perspective. From a tax perspective, if you are in business by yourself, so you're what we call a sole member, then you're still going to report on a 1040 Schedule C tax return. So all of your income as well as your expenses will be listed there. Now, as an LLC sole member, you can contribute 20% of your profit into what we call a SEP plan, mm-hmm. which is great. So that's 20% and you get a tax deduction. So it's a win-win. Now, once you get, I would say when your profits are let's say $40,000 to $50,000, that's when I would suggest moving over and getting what we call an S-Corp tax status. So you're still an LLC, but you have an S-Corp tax status. So what that means is instead of paying self-employment tax, which is in addition to your ordinary income tax, it's 15% of your profit, you now are going to pay yourself a salary. So you're going to give yourself a salary. And you pay payroll tax on it. I know this is kind of talking a little high.
It's fine. I think it's
okay.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're going to pay payroll tax on it, but half of that tax is going to be deductible. And the business can contribute 25% of your salary into a retirement plan. And it's deductible by the business. So that's what we like to do because, one, you're lowering your tax liability and you're contributing to your retirement plan as a deduction on the business side.
Mm-hmm. Now, Crystal made a very excellent point. Now, SEP, for all of you in the audience that are not familiar with that term, is a self-employment plan. And then the retirement plan, which is a equivalent of a money purchase for a profit sharing plan, where she's saying you can do 25%, 15% to the pension portion of it, money purchase pension portion of it. And then the 10% to the profit sharing portion
yes.
of that plan. So these are things that a lot of entrepreneurs don't know. The two biggies we've talked about, the health as well as the retirement. Mm-hmm. They're not focusing. They're not returning. They're not paying themselves. A lot of times I see entrepreneurs go out and spend that money on things that are not may not bring back a return on their investment. Mm-hmm. And we have to continuously think, what is going to return, make me a return on my investment? Absolutely. And definitely having a partner. Again, Crystal has proven that point without saying it. By having an accountant, you don't know when to go from the LLC
to an S-corp. Absolutely.
You don't know those things. An accountant would tell you that, would be able to share that with you, the right accountant. And I want to make sure that I'm very clear on this, having the right accountant, that right partner that is helping you through the process. Because without the right partner, without somebody who sees your vision, who can you can go to and talk to, and who can talk back to you to say, in my case, Marilyn, don't make that. Don't do that. I would not advise that. It has to be somebody you can trust, someone who you respect as well as trust, that you trust their opinion. I would not, I every decision, she may not know it, that I make now, I some kind of way have to get through Crystal approval. And even if it's, I'm going back to the real world to just, you know, to work for someone, or I'm making another step. Just this morning, I brought something to her and I broke it down and she said, what are you thinking? So I know that she knows the right questions to ask me to get to the point, and so that I can order my steps, so to speak, in the right way based on the advice other person that has been given to me to help me in making those decisions. So people, this is important. It's the difference. Having an accountant, in my particular case, it could have been the difference between $100,000 in tax debt versus very little money in tax debt. Mm-hmm. So it's extremely important when you're growing, even when you're building your business, and you may not think, hey, I'm not making a profit. If I can attest to you, if I had had someone like Crystal in my, as my partner, when I first started doing business, things I truly believe would be much different than they are now.
And one thing, especially, you know, when you are going into starting a business, you think, oh, I need to buy different things. I need a computer. I need vehicles. I need this. I need that. You have got to speak to a CPA first, because there are so many provisions out there that are in favor of the small business owner. You know, we have bonus depreciation, we have Section 179, but if you don't know, you don't know when to purchase them. And sometimes, I mean, one of the provisions was passed December 27th of 1 year.
Wow.
But you wouldn't know that. So literally December 27th, I'm calling every single client telling them, okay, if you want to buy something, you need to buy it by, you know, December 31st. But you, if you don't have a relationship, you don't have that person to call you. You,
right.
If you happen to see it on Yahoo, you know, news when it comes by, that's great. But otherwise, you wouldn't know. And that could save you, you know, thousands of dollars on your tax bill for something that you're already going to buy. But it's when. Timing is impeccable, especially when it comes to accounting and tax laws. You want to make sure that the timing of your purchases, of your deductions, are all in the right timing so you can take the best advantage.
Right. So we're going to wrap up today's show. We're 28 minutes into our 30-minute show, and we're going to give Crystal a chance to tell us how to contact her, the address and the website where you can reach her, as well as Crystal will also, information will also be shared on our blog post, as well as our site, Career Advancement Radio. And once that information shows up, it'll have her contact information as well there. But for those who are listening to the show as they're driving, because this podcast is also goes through iTunes.
Awesome.
So, Crystal, go ahead and give us the contact information.
Absolutely. So I can be reached by email. It's probably my preferred contact. It's cbernard, C-B-E-R-N-A-R-D, at Crystal, C-H-R-Y-S-T-A-L, bernardcpa.com. And my number is 214-490-1922. My website is crystalbernard.com. So I thoroughly enjoyed. And one thing, if I can leave, again, I just want to reiterate, if you can really get your bookkeeping established early, it will prevent a lot of bad habits later on. So many times we jump into business and we focus on the operations and then we try to do the finances at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But you want to just do it initially. That way you're in the habit, you know what to do, you have a relationship with the CPA. And I trust you, the money that you spend on a CPA, you're going to get it back tenfold because you do it early rather than later.
Yeah. Now, Crystal, When you link to us, Crystal also has a blog that she has, and she also has great information as an accountant, even from that individual standpoint. I remember one time having a conversation with her, and she told me, don't work any more jobs because it was causing me more headaches financially than it needed to. So those are even things that you all need to know. I know of several people that's working 15 jobs, seem like, but not getting the best from that. And if you are instructors out there, I would advise you to please, 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 you need someone like Crystal, because you're working as an adjunct professor, a lot of you, working multiple locations. You need an accountant. You need some of the things that Crystal has to say to you, to talk to you about. Being in my role in education and seeing some of the things I've seen, and a lot of the people that are going before the tax man, they have the same issues or have struggled with the same issues that I did as an adjunct and as a person working a full-time job before. So you need this information. It could save you thousands of dollars. So that wraps up our show today. Again, please connect to Crystal at the information that she provided to us today, as well as Crystal, please share with us for our blog, the ministries that you have, and how we can connect and get in contact with you guys there. And so that, I hate to end our show, really, because there's so many more questions. I'm sitting here at Crystal's office, and I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, we could ask this, that, or the other. But we only have 30 minutes. So thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you, Crystal.
Absolutely.
So, and you can reach me at Marilyn@carolbeck.com, and that information is posted on the website as well. I'm Dr. Marilyn Carroll, and thank you for being with us today.